Total RL is the home of rugby league. With news, reports and features on both the pro and amateur game in the UK and overseas. League Express is available from your store every Monday and digitally every Sunday night. Subscribe to print and digital versions at totalrl.com/shop. Plus, subscribe to the monthly Rugby League World magazine or available exclusively online. TotalRL.com. Rugby League at your fingertips.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the League Express podcast. My name's Jake Keenan, and joining me as always is the editor of League Express, Martin Sather. And Martin, another weekend full of Rugby League. Did you get to watch it all?
Mostly, yeah. I've seen most of the games. You know, it has been a great week, hasn't it? And not least because some of the top teams slipped up, and some of the teams, you know, in the middle of the table got some really great results. Obviously, Hull KR beating Wigan, Lee beating Catalans, Salford beating Warrington perhaps falls into that category as well. Mm. And Huddersfield very nearly beat St Helens, you know, leading 12-0, but then losing 13-12 with a late field goal to Johnny Lomax. Obviously exciting times, really. Mm. And Saints, in doing that, have sneaked right back to the top of the table, which is interesting, isn't it?
No, definitely. And it was one of those games there where it looked like Huddersfield sort of were going to go a long way to winning it until that
Percival intercept. Actually, should have won it. Two early tries, but then they seemed to take their foot off the gas, and there were one or two incidents in the game, obviously. You know, Jake Connor allowed his emotions to get the better of him when St Helens scored their second try. And I'm fairly sure, I mean, the thing about Jake, he's a really fine player, got tremendous talent, fascinating player to watch. Mm. But he's so easily provoked. And if I were coaching against him, my main aim would be, you know, provoke the guy and let him lose his head, and he'll give us some points, as he did, you know, effectively against St Helens last Friday night. So Jake himself, and I'm sure he must realise this more than anyone, he's got to get control of his own temper, his own emotions on the field. And he's got to, I mean, it's okay, you know, he's a great sledger of opponents, and that's fine. But if you do that, you've got to not react when people do it back to you. Yeah. You know, I mean, probably the greatest sledger in the history of Australian Rugby League, for example, was Michael Ennis, who was brilliant at it. And the great thing about Michael, you could respond to him and it would bounce off him. It didn't give a damn, to be honest, and never reacted negatively. Mm. He just got under the skin of his opponents. And Jake, you know, Jake gets under the skin of his opponents, but his opponents get under his skin, and that's, you know, that's the difference.
Yeah.
So he's got to cure that, in my view.
Especially in that position where they're defending on the line.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you've got to play to the whistle.
Well, to see him, you know, on his own line, running to the referee to try and get a penalty awarded, you know, for an incident that, you know, I mean, admittedly, it looked as though he might have had a penalty, but he didn't get one. As soon as you don't get one, you're defending your line, you know, focus on that and make sure that the opposition don't score a try. That's what he failed to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And in that position too, as a fullback, their role is to sweep in behind the defensive line to cover any sort of grubber kicks
absolutely,
in behind.
Yes. So yes.
The fact that
he wasn't focusing on doing that.
No. So, yeah, a very valuable lesson there to learn from him.
Absolutely.
But yeah, was it the intercept trial, was that Percival or Makinson that scored that one? I think I said Percival earlier, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Makinson. Makinson. Oh, it was. There's no doubt about it.
Tommy Makinson.
Yes, and that changed the course of the game, didn't it? Because that's when St Helens started coming back into it, and 27 minutes it occurred, and from that point you always suspected that that Saints might come back and win the game, as they so often do. But one thing though that struck me about that game, Jake, and it's about the crowd. When Huddersfield took that 12-0 lead, and until Makinson scored that try, I thought it was almost eerie the way the Saints crowd went silent. And it's a strange thing with Rugby league crowds. Sometimes they don't get behind their team when the team isn't winning. You know, it's one thing to, you know, create loads of noise when your team is in the lead, But sometimes the team needs the help of the crowd when they're not winning. Mm. And it's almost as though Saints fans sort of sat back and just wanted to keep silent until Saints did come back into it. And I thought that was very odd. There's almost a sense in which St. Helens fans have had so much success over the last few years that they've become almost complacent, a bit blasé, really. And I just wonder if that's creeping in and whether it might do them some good to have a few years not winning major trophies,
yeah.
You know, so that it doesn't become... So that when they do win them, it, you know, they get back behind the team.
Well, they're a very hard fan base to please, aren't they? Because I've seen and read a lot of comments.
They've had so much success. Mm.
And a lot of people are saying, you know, is it time to move on from Paul Wellens? Well, you're sitting at the top of the ladder.
Top of the table.
You know?
It's, what on earth do they want? Who could possibly say that?
Yeah, that's right.
You know.
But Johnny Lomax, he came in very clutch at the end of the game there, kicking that field goal. It was almost like, you know, in that exact play, we didn't know if they were going to shift the ball or if he was going to take the shot. And yeah, he just cool, calm, collected.
From more than 30 metres, I think it was about 35 metres, wasn't it, mm-hmm. that he got that field goal. And that was a terrific piece of play on his part, and on St. Helens' part, actually, you know, to get the ball to him in that position and for him to be so confident in kicking it. But I don't know if you saw on the TV broadcast, Johnny Lomax was featured after the game talking to the, you know, Sky team. And he's a very smart young man, very smart pundit, I think, is Johnny Lomax. Mm. He'd have a great role if anybody in the media wants to employ him in you know, discussing tactics and strategy that's involved in the game. He's a very, very intelligent guy, and I was very impressed with him.
Mm, no, absolutely. He's one of those players where I've watched and thought he could have cut it in the NRL if he wanted to.
Oh, well, there's no doubt about it, yeah.
But yeah, very loyal to his club and wants to stay at St. Helens for the remainder of his career.
Absolutely.
Can't knock him for that.
Not at all, no. But one of the other things, I mean, I've written about St. Helens in my column this week, and, you know, of course, the big news about them last week was that they're going to lose Lewis Dodd at the end of this season to South Sydney Rabbitohs in the NRL. And I'm told that Lewis will massively increase his salary, maybe even quadruple it, or something, you know, of that sort of size. And it's a shame for Saints because, you know, he's been a young player, came through, you know, made his debut in 2020 when he was just 18. And he's been a real fine player for St. Helens, and he will be a big loss. And they're going to have to look elsewhere to see whether they can, you know, fill that hole in the squad. I mean, obviously Moses Mbai can play there probably, but at the end of the day, they probably do need a replacement. They've got some young players coming through, but probably not quite early enough for next season. So it's going to be interesting to see who they get. And I notice at South Sydney, Lachlan Elias has been told that he can look for a new club now that Lewis Dodd is coming. So he's a potential candidate for St. Helens, perhaps, if he wants to come over here.
Mm, yeah, it'd be interesting to see where they turn to fill that role. I think Mbai's a, you know, it's a given that he's in the side. You know, he knows the system.
Oh, he's a very fine player. Yeah.
Perhaps it could be a good option to bring through a youngster in that 14 role and just try and slowly introduce them into that squad. But
I would think so.
You know, there's always players on the market that could fill that void. So
absolutely,
we'll wait patiently and see what happens. But in the other matchup, in Friday night's matchups, we had Cass 40 defeating London 0. Quite a blowout.
It was, although I didn't think London played quite as badly as that scoreline suggests, and I'm a bit with Mike Eccles, the London coach, in that regard. Yeah. But one of the things that struck me was that Tex Hoy, I thought, had a really great game on his debut for Castleford. And again, I've said before that Hull FC, we'll talk about them in a few minutes. Hull FC, the problem with them is that they have let the wrong players leave their club, in my view. I think Tex Hoy is a very good player, and he showed it with Castleford on Friday night, in my view. It broke through in the first minute, virtually, and created the first try, and then broke through again and created another one. And, you know, I think Castleford have actually signed some quite smart recruits actually in the last week or two, and things are looking up for them. And certainly a 40-0 win over London, they won't get carried away with it because London are struggling, of course. But it looked great, and the side looked to be enjoying themselves, and the crowd obviously enjoyed it too. So hopefully that's a new start for Castleford this season.
Yeah, and it goes to show how much they've improved, because, you know, 5 weeks or so, 5 weeks ago or so, we were sort of saying, you know, that might be London's first real opportunity at a win.
No chance. And, no chance, as it turned out.
That's right, and it sort of goes to show the recruits that they've brought in, as you said, have had a big impact on this match.
Absolutely.
But yeah, we'll move on to the next matchup. Hull KR 26 defeated Wigan 10.
Well, again, it's one that a lot of people predicted wrongly, and that includes me. I thought Wigan would win at Hull KR, particularly after Hull KR's poor performance at Catalans in the previous round. But to be honest, Hull KR just attacked from the start. Wigan were off their game, but Hull KR made sure that they never came back onto it, and 18-0 they were winning. It was probably, of all the one-sided games we've had this year, this was the most unexpected. You know, nobody would have imagined that Wigan would be beaten so convincingly in any game, actually, this season. I thought there was a chance Wigan could even go through undefeated before they lost to St. Helens on Good Friday, and now they've lost another game. It looks as though they are being pulled back into the pack, which is great for everybody else, of course, and probably great for their own supporters, because, you know, we don't, even Wigan fans presumably don't want to watch one-sided games every week. So it's good that other teams are being competitive with them, and a great result for Hull KR and for Willie Peters. And Willie Peters, an ex-South Sydney player. South Sydney have sacked their coach, Jason Demetriou, today. Is Willie Peters one of those guys who might be on their radar? We might talk about that a bit later, mightn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And it would make sense. He knows the club inside out. So
absolutely.
Yeah, potentially an option there. Yeah, we'll move on to the Lee game. Lee Leopards 30 defeated the Catalan Dragons 2.
Again, another extraordinary scoreline. But not so extraordinary in some ways. Because, again, if you remember on this podcast a week ago, Jake, I predicted that Lee would win this game. And, you know, I want to pat myself on the back on that one. Yep. And I was right. I didn't think they'd win by the margin, though, of 28 points. But I thought Lee were outstanding. And it's no surprise that Tom Amone had another great game. Their fortunes have been transformed since he came back from injury.
Yeah.
And also on Friday night, they had John Asiata coming back into the game, played for part of the second half. That's going to be a massive thing for them. And Matt Moylan had an absolute belter of a game. I mean, again, I've sort of made the point in this week's League Express that a few weeks ago we had a readers' poll saying who's been the best signing by a club this season. And we gave seven options, including Matt Moylan at Lee. And Matt came, amazingly, in my opinion, came at the bottom of the list. Only got 3.92%, I think it was. Yep. Well, I can guarantee that if we ran that poll again, Matt Moylan would be at or very near the top of the poll, and quite deservedly so. I think he's been outstanding in the last few games for Lee, and I can certainly see them rising up the table now.
And he played, I believe it was pretty much the whole game at fullback.
Absolutely.
They were really testing him with some high balls early, and, you know, he diffused every bomb that they threw at him.
He's a very elegant player. Yeah. He had no trouble. He's a very calm guy on the field, is Matt Moylan. Doesn't seem to panic no matter what happens to him. And we were talking about Jake Connor as a fullback earlier. Jake could do to watch Matt Moylan's temperament, I think, because Matt Moylan's temperament looks to be absolutely first class in my view.
I think one of the commentators made a point that it was, I think, in the second half he was lining up to take a conversion kick, and they made the comment that didn't even look like he was breaking a sweat.
No,
he just looked like he just walked onto the pitch.
Yeah,
looked like he wasn't even puffing.
Absolutely not. No. So, he's a remarkable athlete, isn't he? And a brilliant player.
Yeah, ultimate professional, that's for sure.
Yeah.
We'll move on to the Saturday matchup. We had Salford 17 defeating Warrington 12. quite an exciting match this
You
one.
Were there, yeah.
Head along.
What was your impression?
Yeah, it was great. The atmosphere of the crowd was outstanding. I had some passionate Salford fans sitting around me that were continuously reminding the referee to get the Warrington side onside.
Oh, yeah.
Every single tackle, they were offside. Yeah. But yeah, it was a great atmosphere and quite sad to see young Leon Hayes go down with that gruesome ankle injury.
Very sad. Yeah, very sad. You know, he's been such an outstanding young player this year. Now his season's over. Mm. And gosh, that's such a disappointment, isn't it? And you know, your heart goes out to Leon and everybody associated with him and to the club itself.
Mm, no, definitely. And but, you know, yeah, the positive side for Salford, a great performance for them, considering that they only narrowly beat London the week before. And absolutely, they had a lot of off-field drama happening throughout the week with speculation around if Paul Rowley would be their head coach.
Well, I'm very glad that Paul stayed with Salford, and I'm very glad that they got the win for Paul Rowley against Warrington. And it wasn't entirely uncontroversial, was it? Because, of course, it was a penalty try that won it for them. Ryan Brierley being tackled from behind by young Danny Walker. Did you think that was a penalty try? I did, actually. I thought it was justified.
But I thought so. You're
in the
match.
Stadium and you...
Yeah, it's hard because the screen's sort of on the other side of the field, so we couldn't really get a good view and on the replays, but being there at the ground live, the crowd certainly were protesting for a penalty try, and then when the no try came up on the screen, the crowd were almost ready to riot.
But thankfully, wasn't that crazy?
Yeah. I was like, oh, I wonder what they're going to do here, but yeah, the referee gave it on field.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, and Brierley made the comment in the post-match presser that there's been plenty of those where he has been taken out off the ball that haven't been awarded.
Yes.
So he was very grateful to finally have one awarded in his favour.
And he, of course, was delighted. You had a news story in League Express this week about his delight that Paul Rowley is staying at Salford. Mm. And, you know, I'm sure everybody who was a Salford fan in that stadium on Saturday would share that view, wouldn't they? Mm.
And one of his comments that I thought was really interesting, he said that Rowley's signing and the coaching staff that he's brought to Salford is the best signing that club has made in a very long time.
Absolutely,
so,
yeah.
You can't disagree with him there, can
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, great to see Salford doing well against Warrington, who are a contending side.
They're in the top six now, Salford, aren't they? They're sixth, I think, Huddersfield seventh and Leeds eight, if I remember rightly. But yeah, so it's very tight at that, you know, in the middle of the table.
Mm, no, yeah, definitely. All right, and then we had the Sunday matchup, Leeds Rhinos 18 defeating Hull FC 12, closer than I expected.
And closer than I expected, but to be honest, these were two very moderate sides. Hull showing a significant improvement on what they've shown earlier in the year, particularly on defence. There's no doubt their defence has been shocking earlier this season. But nonetheless, I didn't think that Leeds gave them too much to worry about. And, Leeds had the youngster Riley Lum making his debut and scoring two tries, which is marvellous for that young lad. But apart from that, I thought Leeds were moderate, and Hull could quite easily have, got back into it. You know, there was obviously, it was that they went 18-6 down, got back to 18-12, but couldn't quite manage to get back beyond that. Nonetheless, you know, they had one or two players making their debuts. Young Yusuf Iddine from Hull Kingston Rovers was on loan to them, and I thought looked very promising. It's very interesting, isn't it? Some of the lads who wear the sort of early 20s squad numbers at certain clubs have to wait around quite a long time to get a chance, because if nobody's injured, they tend not to get selected. And Yusuf Iddine falls into that category. Wears number 19 at Hull KR, but just doesn't quite seem to get a regular slot in the Hull KR match day squad. And I thought looked very promising there. And I thought Ed Chamberlain did a good job for them. He's arrived from Lee. And, you know, they just looked to have a bit of an injection of greater enthusiasm with the newcomers there. And they've also got some very good young players as well, haven't they? You know, Jack Charles. I mean, you know, he's such a promising young halfback, but they've got to nurture him. And I'm sure Richie Milo recognises that, the new director of rugby at Hull. Mm. You know, Hull have had some very good young players in the past who they've not nurtured as well as they should have done. And they've failed to fulfil their early promise. And they don't want that to happen with a young lad like Jack Charles. And this young boy, Logan Moy, who, you know, I think he made his debut at St. Helens, didn't he, in that 58-0 defeat. Again, only a slightly built young kid, but looks to have great footwork and great determination. And they've got some, you know, potentially, you know, good young players at Hull. And somehow they've got to find a way to bring them through and surround them with players who can help in that process, really.
That's right. You don't want to be relying on those players
to
get your wins.
You can't rely on young players to win games for you.
That's right.
You know, you've got to have your experienced guys doing the job for you. Now, I thought, to be fair, you know, the prop forwards, Herman Essayese, Franklin Pelly, showed a bit of, you know, grit for Hull in this game, and hopefully things will come together and they'll, you know, start to improve as well.
No, absolutely. All right, well, we'll move on to some of the news. So we did touch on it a bit earlier, but yeah, Lewis Dodd, he's reportedly set to sign a 4-year deal with South Sydney from next season. Bit unfortunate for Saints that they won't be able to get a transfer fee for his
That's how
departure.
It goes. Yeah. That's how it goes. They nurture these kids and then they leave them and they don't pick up a fee. But, you know, those are the rules, I'm afraid. You know, no doubt they will find somebody else, as we were saying earlier. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it, that two halfbacks who are coming out of contract in this country at the end of this season are Mark Sneed of Salford and Jordan Abdul, who's actually a Hull KR player still, but on loan at Catalan's Dragons. Would Hull KR move for either of those two guys? Not Hull KR, St. Helens. St. Helens. Would St. Helens move for either of those two guys? I wouldn't be at all surprised.
Can you imagine Mark Sneed playing in that Saints squad? Well, like if he's playing, you know, with the form that he's shown this year.
It'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It'd be a very dangerous
side. I think the Saints fans would probably welcome him, to be honest.
Do you think Josh Drinkwater could be a candidate for them as
potentially,
short-term
yes.
fix?
Well, Josh Drinkwater's a candidate for quite a few clubs, although, of course, it looked at one stage as though Josh would be heading out of Warrington perhaps even before the end of the season. But now with Leon Hayes' injury, I would think he'd be back in the side this weekend, probably.
Yeah,
you're right. And he's got a chance to put himself back in the shop window. It looks fairly obvious that Warrington are not going to extend his contract beyond the end of this season. And he is looking, apparently, for another club in the Super League for next season. And obviously there have to be quite a few options for doing that.
Now, the search continues for Hull FC, who were unsuccessful in trying to tempt Paul Rowley over last week. But you've sort of thrown a suggestion out in League Express this week, I believe, Martin. Lee Breers could be a potential candidate they could target among many other candidates.
Well, there are reports that Lee has shown an interest in this position. And if he has, I mean, he's done a terrific job at Brisbane Broncos. And I think I quoted Jock Madden, the young Brisbane halfback, you know, praising Lee Breers, you know, to the hilt, really, with what he's done for him. And Lee would be a we were talking earlier about Jack Charles, the young Hull halfback. Lee would be a fantastic appointment for him, wouldn't he? You know, if Lee were put in charge of Hull with a promising young halfback like that, especially partnering Jake Truman, you know, what a potential thing that would be for the Hull club. And, you know, I'd be very tempted to go to try and get Lee Breers for that reason, if for no other. But, you know, we've mentioned a few other candidates as well, and we've actually got a reader's poll on TotalRL.com this week inviting readers to vote for a number of alternative candidates. Lee Breers, Martin Gleeson, the assistant coach at Warrington Wolves, who's another very smart attacking coach, I think. Brian McDermott, currently the assistant with Newcastle Knights, but coached more grand final wins than any other coach. Steve McNamara, who's a Hull lad, who's also being linked now with South Sydney, by the way. Sean Wayne, of course, who's the England coach, but doesn't have a club coaching gig at the moment. And Danny Ward, who's the assistant coach at Hull KR, who's, you know, enjoyed some, you know, got Castleford out of trouble last year. So there's, you know, there's some potential candidates there, I think. And, you know, who they choose to go for is going to be quite interesting to see.
Do you think they try and start that recruitment process now, or do you think they just try and take
definitely
their time
now.
With it?
They've got to move as quickly as they can. But but then again, you know, you've got Simon Griggs now who's taken charge. His first result, his first result was St Helens, that 58-0 defeat at Saints. But his second result has shown a significant improvement. So who knows, you know, if Simon can demonstrate that he's capable of getting results, who knows, he might get the job full time.
Now, Gareth Ellis has also returned to the club in a role that I'm not sure has been completely specified.
No, but it's interesting that he's come back, isn't it, now that there's been a change in coach. You know, you're sort of tempted to wonder why he left in the first place, and was there some sort of tension between him and Tony Smith? I've got no idea on that one, but it almost suggests that there might have been. Maybe I'm doing both of them a disfavour by even mentioning that, but you just don't know, do you?
Yeah, that's right. But interesting to see. Do you reckon he could be a potential candidate as a bit of a come from behind?
Not to coach, I don't think.
No,
yeah. No, but certainly being involved, yes. It'd be a great guy to be involved.
Yeah, definitely. Now, we have touched on it, but Jason Demetrio has officially been sacked by the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Who's potentially another candidate for the whole job now.
That's right. He could potentially, fill that role. You mentioned before the podcast to me how well he has coached in this country.
Well, he coached Keithley to promotion. I think it was in 2012, I think. That was he was a player coach at Keithley, got them promoted. But then went back to Australia, and his coaching record was absolutely... I mean, he coached the Northern Pride in Queensland, led them to, you know, the top of the league both seasons he was there. Then he's coached in at reserve grade in the NRL and has won trophies as well. And coached under Wayne Bennett at South Sydney and then took on the job himself, and had a record of great success until things fell apart a bit halfway through last year, which resulted in Sam Burgess leaving as an assistant coach at South Sydney, and things have never is never really got back on the horse, and it sort of illustrates, doesn't it, that sometimes when things start going wrong, it's very hard to put them right, and you know, there's been all that trouble with Latrell Mitchell, who's such a great player, but whose mind seems to have been diverted onto other, you know, non-rugby league things, unfortunately. Unfortunately for the club, that is, of course. And it's just not worked out. But South Sydney are another wonderful example, Jake, of a club that lets players leave who they shouldn't allow to leave. And the obvious candidate there is Adam Reynolds going to Brisbane.
Yeah.
When they let Adam Reynolds go to Brisbane, they offered him a one-year deal, which was derisory, really. And, you know, he didn't accept it, obviously. Went to Brisbane for a much longer-term deal. And it's worked brilliantly for Brisbane, hasn't it, for the Broncos. Yeah. And it just sort of shows you've got to be... If you let players go... Don't let the wrong ones go, is what I would say.
That's right.
And that certainly was true of Hull and has been true of Souths.
And that's the thing, like when Reynolds did leave, he was after a 3-year contract, I believe, with the Rabbitohs, and then Broncos offered him that. Rabbitohs wouldn't go up to 3 years. And I believe Wayne Bennett at the time said, because he was departing at the end of that season, he said that, look, if it was my decision, I'd be keeping him.
But absolutely.
Demetrio's
and whoever's decision that was... I don't know whose decision it was, obviously, but they would be lucky to keep their job if I run that club.
Yeah, and you've seen the success that he's had with the Broncos.
Absolutely.
His 3-year contract, I believe it's up this season. He's signed on a 1-year extension, so he's gotten 4 years with the Broncos. So,
absolutely.
You know, looking back now, if you're getting a time machine. I'm sure the Rabbitohs wouldn't have let him go.
I'm sure they wouldn't, no.
But yeah, so Ben Hornby, he's going to be the interim coach for Rabbitohs. He's currently an assistant at the club. I know Ferner was being touted as the potential.
Well, Ferner will presumably stay there, but under Ben Hornby, presumably. Because, I mean, Ferner's only just arrived on the scene, hasn't he, at South Sydney. So it would be a bit odd if he were given the interim job over Ben Hornby.
No, absolutely. Now, one name I heard mentioned on Matty John's radio show this week was potentially Adrian Lamb. Could be a candidate for that
certainly
job.
Certainly could be. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, I've already mentioned two of the potential candidates from Super League. You know, we've mentioned Willie Peters and Steve McNamara, but Adrian Lamb is the assistant Australian coach to Mal Meninga. He's obviously got a great reputation in Australia. He's won a trophy with Lee last year, of course, the Challenge Cup, and the side is playing well again. He's now that they're getting players back from injury. So why wouldn't you want to approach Adrian? Whether he would, I mean, I find it hard to imagine that he wouldn't take the job. Because they'd give him an offer that he probably couldn't refuse. Secondly, because South Sydney's such a big club, the negative side of that, of course, is that you're in the headlines all the time, coaching South Sydney, and there's a lot of political infighting within that club as well. Obviously, there's Russell Crowe on the one hand, Nick Pappas and so on. When it works well, it works well. But when it doesn't work well, inevitably some of those people might not see eye to eye. And it makes it difficult for whoever is the coach, I think.
Absolutely. And he's got a very good gig with the Lee Leopards at the moment.
Well, I think he's enjoying himself at Lee, is Adrian. Even though they've not had a great start to the year, when you just sort of see him speaking to the cameras, he looks very positive and speaks very positively, I think. And you know, I think he's enjoying being. I think he does enjoy life in England. He enjoys life as a Super League coach. And you know, there's always that sort of thing, isn't there? You know, is the grass greener on the other side, or am I better staying where I am? Because the South Sydney job will come and go. Somebody will get it ultimately, but other jobs will come up in the NRL, which might not be, you know, so sort of stress related, really, because I mean, as I've said, South Sydney's a very much a stress inducing job, I would have thought.
And I just feel like on Adrian Lamb's bucket list, there's a few things there that he probably would like to tick off with the Lee Leopards. You know, obviously they won the Challenge Cup last season and saw how much joy that brought him. I can only imagine, you know, a Super League title would bring much more joy as well. So
absolutely, yes.
We'll see what happens in, you know, the coming months and, see who South's target. But, very interesting news breaking today. We'll move on to some other news in the NRL. The Sydney Roosters halfback, halfback 5'8", Luke Keary. He's set to retire at season end. There's been some speculation it could be due to repeated head knocks that he sustained in his
career.
That
seems to be that seems to be what people are saying, doesn't it? And if so, I mean, only a player himself can make that call. If Luke thinks it's time to quit, you know, and not put more pressure on his on himself by carrying on playing, then that's a good decision for him. But he'll be missed at the Roosters, though, won't he? He's been a really good player for them.
Well, absolutely. You know, it's not as if he hasn't achieved much in his career. He's achieved a lot. He's a three-time premiership winner. He won one with South, two with Sydney Roosters.
Absolutely.
He's a Clive Churchill medalist, represented his country, also represented Ireland for three matches, I believe, or two or three matches.
Yes, in the World Cup, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, you look at his resume, he's, you know, ticked off a lot on that. And he's been in the
league. And apparently I was reading that when he was at South Sydney, he left South Sydney because he wasn't happy with the way certain ways in which the club was run, and particularly he was one of the few people to sort of stand up to Russell Crowe and criticise something that Crowe said, and the owner of the club, and so he's obviously quite a smart young guy who's quite prepared to speak up for himself and his teammates, which is a very, you know, valuable quality in my view.
No, definitely. And I remember, like, years ago, there were talks because he had sustained so many head knocks that he could potentially retire early. He had a bit of time off from the game and came back. And, it's quite sad to see, but then also he's enjoyed quite a lengthy career, which is great.
Yeah, hopefully he's set up for, you know, something set up financially going forward, hopefully.
Mm, yeah, definitely. And Martin, we've got the women's nines set to return this weekend, I believe.
What yes, at Victoria Park. Well, I'm a great fan of Nines Rugby League. And, you know, one of my big regrets is that the NRL ran a pre-season Nines tournament in Auckland for several years, but then abandoned it. And so often we do this in Rugby League. We have a great idea, we run it for a few years, and then it runs out of steam. So rather than taking it somewhere else, we just drop it. You know, and I think that's a real shame. Because I think Nines Rugby League is a great way to introduce new fans to the game and perhaps even new players to the game. So this weekend, this Sunday, it's the Women's Nines in Warrington at Victoria Park. I think it starts at 10:30, very early, and it goes on all day. And four groups of four, all the, you know, big women's teams will be there, and plus a few others. And I think it'll be great fun to watch. And, you know, my only regret is that I'll be sat in this office putting League Express together when I'd rather be outside, particularly if the weather's getting warmer, Jake, now as it seems to be. I'd rather be outside watching some rugby, really, to be honest, if I'm honest about it.
The sun shines out today, so it's always nice when a field's had a few days of sun on it, because it, you know, dries it out a little
bit.
Absolutely, yes. Get some, you know,
we need that
action
to happen.
Yeah, and that was one of the things at Salford over the weekend. The pitch looked immaculate. I found it. You just, as soon as I rocked up, I thought, yeah, this is going to be a fast track, and we're going to see some great attacking
some good
football.
Rugby. Yeah, and, absolutely.
Yeah, that we did. But I think, and you and I have spoken about this before, Martin, but the Nines format is probably the best way to introduce some of these newer countries to our game.
Absolutely, yes.
Just because, you know, it's not so much about tactics. You can be a great athlete and thrive in Nines, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, we could go as far as poach a few maybe rugby sevens players in, you know, countries like South Africa, you know.
We started having a World Cup night, a Nines World Cup, didn't we, a few years ago, and again abandoned it. You know, we're a hopeless sport, really, in the sense that we put things on and don't think them through and then throw them away. And we'll never succeed if we keep doing that. Jake, I'm afraid.
That's it. And that, I guess the one big issue that clubs always have concerns about is that injury risk, especially if it's a pre-season tournament. Clubs aren't likely to play some of their best players because they're scared that they're going to get injured before the season starts.
Well, I mean, you know, there's always a risk of injury if you play rugby league.
Yeah.
You know, whether you play first team or any other team. But, you know, you've just got to... You can't wrap players in cotton wool forever, can you? You've got to expose them to competition. I mean, I would love to see a midweek Nines tournament among Super League clubs. Maybe played on a, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday night or something with, you know, Nines events on either side of the Pennines. You know, on summer evenings, just over 6 weeks or something. I think, you know, at the height of summer, I think it'd be marvellous for fans to get out of their homes and watch some Nines rugby, you know, at various venues with you know, games moving from venue to venue. But nobody seems to have that thought in mind. Yeah.
And they're only 18-minute matches. It's not like they're playing a full 80.
Absolutely.
So
you know, you can play three matches in an hour.
Yeah. I've sort of got this concept idea in my head that, you know, I haven't put a lot of thought into, but I always thought, how can, you know, the NRL incentivize players to want to take part in this? And one would be, you know, some prize money. But I've always thought that if the NRL could bring in this Nines concept that's sort of separate from the way the club system works, and what I'd like to see is potentially, say, six barbarian teams that don't have squad list put forward, and then potentially, you know, six different coaches for these barbarian teams, and then maybe a draft system where the teams could then draft a squad out of, you know, the whole NRL pool, and then the incentive could be at the end of the tournament, whoever wins the grand final can, you know, have their equal share in, say, $1 million, something like that.
Yes.
And then that would you know, motivate players.
It certainly would. It would motivate them, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And then it'd be a spectacle. You could have a draft system where, you know, fans could watch, see, you know, which players get paired up with other players within the league. And I just think...
Well, all I can say to that is, Jake, that if anybody from the NRL, Peter Vlandis or Andrew Abdo, are watching this podcast, they'll be on the phone to you later today, hopefully.
Yeah, I don't know about
that. That would be rather nice.
They might, you know, call me up and say,
look,
mate,
great idea, mate. Put it into effect.
Yeah, that's right. Or they might say, you're absolutely kidding yourself. This isn't going to work.
You never know.
You know, keep thinking of ideas. So, yeah, it'd be awesome to see some Nines action this weekend. We encourage all the fans to get out there. It'll be a great day. And, yeah, we'll see who comes out on top. But what we might do, Martin, is we might look at this weekend's matchups, unless there's any other news you want to touch on before we do your quick piece.
No, I don't think so. I think we've covered most of the active news, you know, in what we've said so far. So, yes, this weekend's matchups. Where do we begin?
So we've got the Thursday night matchup, which is always great to see. Wigan taking on Catalans.
Yes, two teams that failed badly at the weekend. So presumably one of them will fail again and one will recover.
Right.
Given that the game's at Wigan, you would imagine that Wigan would be the ones who'd come out on top here, wouldn't you? But I think they will. I can't imagine Wigan playing two bad games in a row. So I think I'd probably pick them to win by 10 points or thereabouts.
Yeah. Friday's matchups, we've got Huddersfield taking on Salford.
That'll be a really interesting game, one that I'm probably going to be at myself. So, you know, I think Huddersfield might just have enough to beat Salford, although Salford often play well at Huddersfield. So I think that'd be a very tight game. I wouldn't like to predict the result.
No. Yeah, it could be a coin flip, that one. Then we have Leeds taking on London.
Well, you can only see one result here, can't you? But, you know, again, I'd just like to see London keep improving, just improve a bit. And, you know, hopefully with their opponents not running up a cricket score. And that's maybe the best we can hope for in that game.
Well, I'm quite interested, and this is looking down the track a lot here, but what impact, when London do go back to the championship, what type of squad are they going to be?
That's going to be fascinating, isn't it?
Following their year in Super League. You know, fingers crossed they go back and you know, dominate. But yeah, we'll see what happens. And then we have Warrington taking on Hull FC.
Well, again, you can only imagine Warrington winning this game, but again, you hope that all are going to improve, and you hope that, you know, Warrington won't win by too much, although I would imagine it would be at least by 20 points, to be perfectly honest.
And interested to see what lineup gets named for that.
Oh, very much so.
Who takes over for Leon Hayes.
Very much so. Well, you'd assume Drinkwater, wouldn't you? But, you know, that's for Sam Burgess to decide.
Yeah. Moving on, then we have Hull KR taking on the Saints on Saturday.
Well, this is the game of the round, isn't it? You know, Hull KR having just beaten Wigan. I mean, it's a tough ask for them to have Wigan and St Helens on successive weeks. But the good thing for them is that both of them are at home. And if they can do it to Wigan, you would think they could do it to St Helens as well. But, you know, who knows? It's going to be an interesting test. I don't think they'll find it as easy to beat St Helens as it was to beat Wigan. I think I would just go for Hull KR over, given the, you know, the way they play at home and the way the crowd really gets behind them, it's going to be another full house, obviously. And I think I would just go for Hull KR.
And in the final matchup of the round, we have the Lee Leopards taking on Castleford.
Well, again, I think Lee are showing vastly improved form. They're wanting to pick up points to climb the table. They're still, you know, 8 points outside the top six, so they need to pick up a lot of points. And I can't see them losing to Castleford, although Castleford is another side that's improving. Both these sides picked up their second win of the season on Friday night. Obviously, Castleford's was more expected than Lee's was. But if, you know, with John Asiata presumably now back on from the start, I just can't see Lee losing this game. I think they'll win by about 20 points.
And it's a crucial game for Lee to get back on track.
Very much
so. String two wins together.
Very much so.
Yeah, and hopefully make a run into that you know, playoff sort of scenario.
They need to do that. There's no doubt about
it. Season, yes. Yeah. Just one last thing I wanted to touch on, mate. Quite some sad news down under over the last week or so with the passing of Terry Hill.
Came as
a complete shock to everyone.
Yeah, died suddenly, unfortunately.
I believe he was in the Philippines when it happened. So,
yes.
Our thoughts go out to his family. And
well, he was a great player, but also a great... He was very good on the footy show as well, wasn't he?
Yeah.
With Paul Vorton. And I think Paul has made some, obviously, comments about his loss. And, condolences to Terry Hill's family. But he was a really great player who, is probably a bit underrated because there was so many other great players around when he played.
Yeah. And also one of the great sledges I've heard from a few players mention.
Very much
mention.
So. Yeah, we've been talking about Michael Ennis a bit earlier.
Yep.
And, Terry... Yeah, was pretty good in that department, by all accounts.
Yeah, no, it's a real art to be able to get under your opponent's skin.
Absolutely.
And then, as we said, not have those same sledges affect you. So,
yeah,
very sad news. And, yeah, as we said, our thoughts go out to his family and the rugby league community down under. And, yeah, very, very sad news. We never like talking about these tragic deaths on the podcast.
No, it is tragic. And, you know, particularly when somebody dies at a young age. You know, significantly younger age than me at the moment. So that's awful, really. And, you know, as I say, our condolences go out to everybody connected with Terry.
Mm. All right, Martin. Well, if you're happy to wrap it up here, mate, I am.
One thing. Actually, let me just say one thing before we do go. The big game this weekend, we've talked about Hull KR versus St Helens. But on Friday night, Sheffield Eagles versus Wakefield Trinity. Both teams... played six, won six in the championship.
Wow.
And it's going to be in Sheffield. It'll be played in front of a full house, no doubt, because Wakefield will take lots of fans down there. But there's no way to watch this game on TV or even online. And that's such a great shame, Jake, because it's the biggest game of the season so far in the championship. The championship's a great competition. And we're not going to be able to see the cream of the crop playing each other unless you're actually at the stadium itself. And the stadium is a very small one, so not that many people can fit in. So what an enormous shame that is. Mm. And, it would be so good to be able to, you know, have that game on TV so you can either watch it live or record it, but we're not going to be able to do either.
No, it's a great shame.
It'll be a hell of a game.
And Wakefield had an impressive win over Toulouse.
They did,
over the weekend.
And Sheffield had a 54-0 win over Barrow.
Wow.
You know, I mean, obviously Barrow are not quite in the same league as Wakefield, but it's going to be a really good. I mean, Sheffield Eagles, coached by Mark Aston, he's such an astute guy, and. You know, it's going to be so fascinating to see who comes out on top. I mean, Wakefield will be the favourites, but it won't be easy for them. There's no doubt about it.
That's a shame. I would have liked to have gotten to that. I mean, I think I'm going to be at the Warrington Hull FC game on Friday night. So if any fans are there, say g'day if you see me in the crowd. But yeah, that'll be a really great matchup to watch, mate.
It will.
We will quickly remind our viewers and listeners, if you do want to grab yourself a subscription to League Express, head along to totalrl.com/shop. And we've got the new edition of the Rugby League World magazine here on the table as well, mate. We'll put that up so people can see the front cover. The fans watching on YouTube
and the current League Express.
League Express. So
get out and buy it or get it online. Even
I think we're 4 subscribers away from 900, mate. So
we were as we started, weren't we? So let's hope we get a few more.
And fingers crossed, we can hit that 900 mark this week. I'm sure we can, mate. But yeah, we'll wrap it up here. Thanks again, Martin. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, Jake. It's a pleasure as always.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers.